All right, now. Rolling. You know my starter won't start this morning. Boy, my motor won't even turn. You know my starter won't start this morning. Boy, my motor won't even turn. You know I've been running with a fair class of women's. Now they have called my little Carter Ryan.
Figure4Online.com/WrestlingObserver.com.
Welcome to the Best of 2021 compilation.
This sounds like the biggest burial I've ever given anybody, but I don't intend it to be this bad, but we got another Miz. Like, he comes out.
They're on the very same plane, man.
He does a great job talking, but I don't believe a word that he says, nor did I care when he was done talking.
Yeah.
So something's missing here. But yes, he speaks very well. He's a good inoculator. Wait. Someone who gives
he is better at that
vaccines.
Than you are.
By the way.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
Fuck me. I'm fucking below an ape now. That's what we're at this point. They're vaccinating monkeys.
I see. I did not know that.
What in the fuck's going on right here?
Apes are getting vaccines.
Yes.
Are they at least endangered apes?
Well, I mean, they were at the zoo. I mean, I guess...
That's the safest place for an ape to be.
I guess it's a multi-generational household, but Jesus Christ. I'm fucking sitting here in quarantine. I've been following the rules for a fucking full year now, and they're vaccinating apes? God damn it!
All right, so I timed this next series of segments. Here is what happened.
They're finally getting their revenge. All these years, we put them lower on that fucking tree. Now they're getting the last laugh.
This is how Planet of the Apes begins.
Yes.
It all starts with vaccinations.
Isn't there some time travel shit in these vaccines? These apes are going to go forward in time and take over.
Yeah.
No one ever thought of that, did they?
Damn dirty apes.
I wasn't going to shave my beard till I got vaccinated, and then I shaved it. Then I find out that these apes are getting vaccinated. I should have fucking kept growing all my hair and my body hair. And just got in line.
I saw your beard, Brian. You were no ape.
Oh, come on.
We see Regal and Pierce.
We went to the zoo.
You don't say.
So, we were at the zoo a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, and there's an ape, okay? So, we go, we look at all these apes. I took pictures of the apes or whatever, a couple of videos. And then we get home, and I'm like, hey, Paisley, you want to watch some of the videos of what we saw at the zoo? So I'm showing her these videos, and every time we get to the ape, she's like, ah, I don't like that guy. He's scary. I'm like, nah, he's not scary. He's just an ape. I don't want to see that guy. So we go back to the zoo, and there's a very specific path. They don't want you to go backwards because there's social distancing outside at the zoo with your masks on. So you've got to walk in a very specific path. Okay?
Okay, gotcha.
So you pass all the same animals every time in the exact same order.
Gotcha.
So we, of course, are about to pass the apes. And Paisley's like, I don't want to see that guy. I don't like him. He's scary. I said, he's not scary. Come on. And there's a new baby ape. They got some baby ape now, little ape. So I'm like, don't worry, baby. Everything's fine. I'm talking her off the ledge. And she's like, ah. So we finally go and we're looking at all these apes. And way off in the distance, there's the mother ape. And you could just see the little tiny baby ape's head. And I don't know if this ape, the big ape, I don't know if he can speak English or whatever. But
most can't.
But I'm not sure, Vinny, because we're looking around and the zookeeper's there and he goes, well, if you look over yonder, that little head, that's the baby ape. And as soon as he says baby ape, like everything been going fine, this fucking ape stands up and he starts going, ah, 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 and he starts pounding on the fucking glass. And Paisley starts screaming at the top of her lungs because this ape's fucking going crazy. I had to pick her up and just book out of there. Jesus. Now this ape's getting a fucking vaccine. I've been holding this in all day.
I can tell that.
All day I've been upset about this ape. Like, I'm glad he's getting the vaccine and all. But it's like...
Are you, though?
You know how many people I know that are, like, high risk and old and they don't have a vaccine? And meanwhile, this ape's getting vaccinated?
Are you going to call out the ape?
Am I sweating?
Vaccine on a pole match?
Dude, I'm fine with the apes getting a vaccine. This was the day where it's like, apes now. You know what I'm saying? Apes!
I'm aware of the concept of apes.
God!
I'm familiar with the beast, yes.
If they start giving cats, and I'm someone who had a cat that died of coronavirus.
Really?
Yeah!
That sucks.
We had Gracie and Snorky. They were they were sisters.
Yes.
And one day, Gracie's one of her pupils got all blown out and started acting weird. We take her to the vet, and the vet says, cat's got coronavirus.
I did not know that.
Will not survive. It was the most traumatizing thing ever. We had to put the cat down. Oh, I can't even
baby
talk
kitten,
about
everyone.
It.
Baby kitten, yeah.
It was horrible.
I remember Snorky.
Yeah. And then Snorky.
I remember Gracie. But,
yeah. You know. It's like Snorky, I think, knew... Because when Snorky's sister died, she gained weight.
Yeah.
Like she's...
Stress eating.
Stress eating. Yeah, yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah.
We've got AEW and NXT to talk about tonight. And also, Vinny, apes.
There's ape news?
You see my Twitter the other day?
Would you say we have an ape update?
Yeah, we have an ape date. So, I was really mad a week ago. I wasn't that bad, but I was irritated.
You're very anti-ape.
No, I'm pro-ape. I was just irritated that we have been waiting in line, Vinny. You, I presume, have not been vaccinated.
I have not.
At one point recently, you were diabetic, right?
That's technically true, yeah.
Yeah, your BMI is over 25.
That is true.
Okay, you should have gotten vaccinated by now. Instead, this ape's got a vaccine. So I was mad about this last week, okay?
Okay.
So, then it comes out. Did you see this on my Twitter? So, now they've stated, well, apparently there was a large, it wasn't just me, there was a large outcry amongst people when they heard about these apes that got vaccinated, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. So then they come out and they say, well, you know, if you're mad about it, don't be, because it's a special ape vaccine. Did you hear this?
Well, no, but okay.
Okay, listen, I'm not a scientist, okay? I could be out to lunch here. But, you know when this pandemic started? A year ago, right?
Right.
Okay. So they were rushing to create this vaccine. It was called Operation Warp Speed. No vaccine had ever been created. All the trials, release of the public, it is quick a period as what happened with this one, right?
That's the idea, yes.
Okay. So you're telling me that at the same time that they were doing these clinical trials, they also were preparing a vaccine for apes at the same time. That's what you're telling me?
Yes.
No. I've been thinking about this. You know what I think happened, Vinny? I think what happened... You don't have a child, Vinny, but I do, okay? So
I can confirm.
When Paisley would get sick... We didn't give her Tylenol. We gave her infant Tylenol. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You think that's any different from the Tylenol she would get when she's like a toddler? Toddler Tylenol? Or adult Tylenol? You think it's a different Tylenol? No, you know what it is? It's less Tylenol. Because she's small. They give you a syringe. So when she was two or whatever, she got maybe 2.5 milliliters. When she's 4, she got 5 milliliters or whatever. And then when she's an adult, she gets adult. But they're all the same Tylenol. You know what I mean? So I think that they're telling everybody some fucking story. Hey, don't worry. It's an ape version of the COVID-19 vaccine. But what it actually is like 3 doses. Because these fucking apes are so big.
Apes are big.
So they actually gave him more. That's what happened. That's my theory. I'm not much for conspiracy theories, but this ape one has really sent me into the rabbit hole. I think
so
what,
to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Into the ape cavern. So I think what's actually happened
is... cave.
Yeah, before I just thought, this ape got a shot that I could have got, or that Vinny could have gotten. Now, I'm thinking, this fucking ape got a shot that me, Vinny, and, like, half of our friends could have gotten.
Thank God we have a genius here.
Like, yeah, because it's an 800-pound ape, and I only weigh 150 pounds. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's more. You've
exactly. So that's
successfully
the...
successfully calculated greater and less than.
That's the ape vaccine. It's really just the same vaccine, but 5 times as much. 5 shots went to that ape. I hear that Ed got his vaccine. I think it was the ape vaccine.
That's possible. Mm. That's the smartest thing you've said all night.
Thank you.
49.
And I want to welcome AEW star and brand new author, John Moxley to the show. John's book, Mox, is scheduled to release on November 2nd. And we have a link to the book in the show notes if you want to purchase it. Also, we're going to give away a copy to a subscriber. So just send me an email, gg@fightgamemedia.com, with your F4W username for cross-reference. You'll be entered into a giveaway for the Kindle version of the book. Sorry for the long intro, John. What's going on?
Dude, like, I mean, what I could say is I could be like, oh, everything is good and cool and, like, let's sell the book and just do the regular media thing. But, like, I don't do that. I keep it real. I tell the truth. And, like, I don't want to talk to all these fucking assholes, you know? I talk to you guys because you guys are cool. So, like, the truth is everything is fucking insane right now. And, like, y'all got me at a hell of a fucking time. Like, I'm in the middle of fucking... First of all, before we even get into any of this, let's just get this out in the open. I wrote the greatest wrestling book of all time. That's basically, you know, we can all agree to that, you know, that happened, and now it's out there, and now people can buy it on Amazon right now. Comes out November 2nd. Got to pre-order that shit. They're going to go like hotcakes, you know? I mean, it's basically unequivocally, I wrote the greatest wrestling book of all time. We know that. That's already done. On all this other shit, I'm in the middle of moving. Or, I don't know, maybe it fucking sucks. I don't care. I don't know. I don't know why I always have to fucking, whatever. I mean, we're like moving to Cincinnati, right? So, like, I'm trying to facilitate a move from the West Coast to the East Coast. Meanwhile, somehow I've been booked into the most ridiculous month of booking. October is just like insane. It's like Vegas to Miami to Philadelphia, back to Vegas, back to Boston, back to Vegas. Now tomorrow I'm going to Iowa to fucking stab Jimmy Jacobs in the head. Cause you know, that just, you know what? That needs to happen. It's a cool thing. We sold 1,000 tickets. It's going to be a big show. Indie wrestling is back now, and you know that's happening. And Pro Wrestling Revolver, it's if you're anywhere near Iowa, Clive City, Iowa, tomorrow, I'm gonna beat the fucking shit out of Jimmy Jacobs tomorrow. And there's a whole, man, we didn't even have time to get in how much of a story we could have told about how much that could be a story, but that's happening tomorrow. Right now, I'm still at home, and I'm packing shit, I'm moving shit, I'm trying to, like, schedule movers, schedule my truck to be shipped, because I can't fit, like, all the dogs and all the babies all in my truck, so I can't drive my truck to Cincinnati, so I have to ship my truck. and we have to take a different vehicle to Ohio. And I'm like, that takes like 3 days. That's a long fucking drive. And like trying to figure all that out, like the logistics of all this, while I'm like in and out and West Coast to East Coast, the West Coast to East Coast, and I don't know what fucking time zone I'm in, and I'm confused, and I got this baby. I got a fucking baby. God damn, I love that fucking baby. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's so great. But it's a lot of work. So a lot is going on right now. You know, I'm trying to like figure it all out. A lot is going on. And now this book is coming out. So now they're giving me the full court press for the media for this book.
Yep.
And now that's all going to happen. And I'm like, so basically, like, at this point, if you put a camera on me or press record, I just tell you what's going on. If I do a promo on AEW Dynamite, I just tell you the truth. I'll tell you what's going on. It's fucking insanity is what's going on. I'm just trying to live life. This is like real life shit. I'm just trying to like, we're all just trying to deal with what the fuck we got going on. It's all craziness. This is what you guys got me with right now.
48.
So Shivani goes to interview Austin about Flying Brian's injury. And this may have irritated only me, and it may irritate only me here 30 years later, but the man's name was Brian Pillman. Mm-hmm. If you call a grown man Flying Brian, I cannot take him seriously. Flying Brian Pillman.
Of all things.
Yes.
God, Vinny.
I said I may be the only one.
Fuck, we watched a whole generation of people calling some bro the Rock.
That's a much better name.
Flying Brian?
Flying Brian. Terrible name.
Stone Cold
beautiful, Steve Austin.
Beautiful Brian. Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
It's beautiful Vinny Brian Alvarez. V. V is the last name.
No, it's not.
It's an initial, at least. If he was Flying Brian P, it would have been different.
If you want him to call him Flying Brian P?
No, I say that out loud. I say that out loud, I realize. The error of my ways.
That's the dumbest thing you've said in a long time.
Flying sure? P.
Well, I mean, yeah. At least minutes. I'm taking. You know, they should have called him Flying Brian P. I'm going to go tell Paisley that tomorrow. I can accidentally mention her reaction to that.
Isn't that what happened? You were watching that Roman Reigns match? And
I Flying Brian P'd straight up in the air.
Yeah, I take it back. I was wrong. That's a mistake.
That's big man admitting
Vinny,
you're wrong.
I want you to stop for a second, okay? And just think about what you've done.
Okay.
You argued that it was too dumb for Tony Schiavone to refer to him as Flying Brian.
Yes.
And you advocated that instead, he said your partner, Flying Brian P, has been injured. That's what you advocated here on this show.
For a moment.
You should be ashamed.
I was so not proud.
Wow.
I'm not proud. So Schiavone asks Austin about Flying Brian's injury. He says, we did. Don't look at me like that.
Because we're all waiting for you to say P.
I've admitted I was wrong. What do you want me to do? Jesus Christ. That's why I don't recommend doing podcasts when you end up with an asshole of a co-host.
Who will never fault now.
Never, Craig.
I'll
never let you live down one dumb thing you say.
My fault that he came up with that fucking idea. Jesus. That's like when Paisley peed on the floor and said we need to move the bathroom closer. It's the bathroom's fault she didn't make it.
But Brian, did she learn her lesson?
It's the size of the home.
Do you remind Paige the other time she urinated on the floor? Or
well, actually, I've reminded her every day since, quite frankly.
Well, that sounds like you.
If you think you need to go, go early, not late.
So Austin says the team is not breaking up. As soon as Flying Brian is back from injury, they'll get those tag team titles back. In the meantime, he's got his eyes on that U.S. title and Dustin Rhodes. Colonel Rothberg interrupts.
Flying Brian P and Stunning Steve A.
I'm at it. Go.
I'm sorry.
Let me guess. That's my fault, too. He said it. What's next? I hope it's not Yoshi Kwan.
I'm not mad. There's no point in doing a show.
Oh, get out of here.
Colonel Rob Parker attempts to recruit Austin and puts the heat on Flying Brian for holding the team back. Austin defends Brian and blows Parker off. So I don't know if it's an injury angle or what, but Eric Young was replaced by W. Morrissey.
Eric Young did, in fact, tear his ACL, I believe.
Oh.
So it was a legitimate injury.
That sucks.
So this was a real replacement. And it
I'm
was,
sorry
in
to hear
fact,
that.
The former Big Cass.
Yes.
Who now looks like Giant Edge.
He does. We always
or as
did,
I like
yeah.
to call him, Cliff, which is a Giant Edge.
Just trying to get your nephew over.
He came out and his name, when they said that his name was W. Morrissey, yes. mm-hmm. I thought back to when you were rambling a few weeks ago, sober, by the way. And what did you want to call that one guy? Remember this?
I believe you're referencing Flyin' Brian P.
Yeah, Flyin' Brian P. is what you wanted him to be called. Flyin' Brian P. I cannot help but think of that when they gave this man the name W. Morrissey.
Really?
Yeah, what is
you're
a
welcome.
W. Morrissey? And quite so frankly, Cliff Morrissey is not a bad name.
No, C. Morrissey.
W. Morrissey. W.
He is human, and he needs to be loved, just like everybody else does.
So I haven't watched Impact in a very long time. And these two women came out with their posses, if you will. Caleb, with a K, I guess is a photographer. I don't know.
What? That's news to me.
Well, he was taking pictures.
All right, he was a dude out there with a neck brace. Okay.
Sure, yes, Caleb with a K. And then the other two chicks on the other side, these were inept crews. I don't know what these people were doing out there. They didn't bring anything to the match. They were just there.
Actually, they did bring something to the match. They beat that bloke up, which led to nothing.
Thank you.
But they beat him up. He got his.
Sure.
Caleb
sure.
with a K.
Yes, Caleb with a K. And his camera with a K. I don't know.
What if it was Flyin' Brian with a I? How about that, Vinny?
That's a great idea, Brian.
You take that more seriously than Flyin' Brian P? Flyin' Brian with an I.
Probably. I probably
feel like,
would.
Okay.
That's intentionally pretentious.
Okay.
You ever feel like a dead horse, Vinny?
Excuse me?
You ever feel like a dead horse?
Craig, you cannot ask these complicated questions to Vinny right now.
You know what?
He's like, I have never felt like a horse. That would be really weird if I felt like a horse.
I don't feel like much
of Bridges never put a saddle on me? Well.
True. No, that's true. I did watch the entire run of BoJack Horseman. It felt much in common with the main character of that show. But,
Yippee-ki-yay, mother... Yeah. Oh.
47. So anyway, here's my professional one. Charmel versus Jenna.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
2002 I have here.
Isn't that long ago? No.
2002 was 2008.
Oh, okay, whatever.
You're only off by, 6 years.
Charmel, I mean, it is a whatever.
Well, no, this is history.
I couldn't find anything decent. Charmel
That's
comes
clear.
Up.
That's for goddamn sure on this one, Granny. Tell us about this match.
Well, when you shut up, I will.
Okay.
Charmel comes out with a T-strap and not much else on. Jenna comes out wearing a silky long gown. What a combo.
You got the confused.
A T-strap.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what that is.
I'm wearing one right now.
Slow start, chin, subhole. Jenna stands on Charmella's hair and pulls up on her arms. Outside interference by Kong, who is with Carmella. Wait a minute.
Carmella? You mean Charmel?
Charmel, yes, yes, okay. Yes. Jenna comes up with a handful of hair, showing it to Kong. Charmel throws Jenna out of the ring. Kong pulls out a handful of hair. Charmel has upper hand till Jenna gets mad, does some fighting back. When the ref is distracted, Kong knocks Charmel out. Jenna gets the 3 count. Kong comes into the ring. Jenna is upset about something, slaps Kong. Kong knocks Kenna down so much for being
Kenta.
Great.
Kenna, so are you sure this is the professional one?
So much for being grateful. I gave that a 5.
5!
A 5?! Are you kidding me? You know what we gave that, Granny? We gave that minus 5 stars. Really? Which would be going all the way down to 0 and then taking away 5. And you gave it 5?
She thought that was average.
Wow.
So.
Well, it's your show. It's your report, Granny.
Yeah, it's your. It's up to you, Granny. What did you think was average about this match? The tee back?
One thing.
The interference?
Same. It's all the same. Chat.
No,
no,
it's not.
That's not true.
That is objectively much worse than almost... Dude, that's much worse than the Balor match, which you gave a 7 to.
She gave a 5 to the Kushida match, I think.
Yeah, Kushida.
You gave Kushida and Gargano the same match, and he has Charmel and Jenna.
Granny. You can do whatever you want, but that match was horrible.
I guess it wasn't very good.
Yeah, it was one of the worst matches of all time, Granny. Of all time!
The hair pulling out and the interference by Kong and all that.
Horrible.
Okay, I'll change it to 2.
Oh,
fuck. Wow. We'll compromise.
Wow. Yeah, it's a compromise, all right. Wow. Well, there you go, Granny. Who sent you that one? Who told you to review that one? Which one of my enemies?
Hey, I just go all over the place, and if I find something that even looks halfway decent, I do it because...
You found that one on your own?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
All right, Taz joins the announce desk. And then for 2 solid minutes, he cuts a promo on Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nobody treats me like that, he says. I'm a man. I don't care who he is. I'm out here now for the segment for his Stone Cold University. I'm going to pick my spot and do what I got to do. That's a quote. I'm going to pick my spot and do what I got to do. He says all this. Michael Cole replies, "You got a problem with Stone Cold Steve Austin?"
What a fucking idiot. And he's still doing commentary to this day.
I hate him so much.
Yes, so he's improved from a negative 100 to a 0.
Craig, you weren't here. You missed the Granny segment. Granny reviewed Charmel versus Jenna from TNA.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Would you like to guess the grade she gave
that
match?
If I'm Granny, and I know how Granny thinks, I'm going to say a 4.
Close.
Higher.
What? Higher.
She gave the match a 5.
She gave this match the same rating that she gave Kushida's match on the TakeOver show with Johnny Gargano. A 5. Wow. And then we gave her such a guilt trip about it that she downgraded it to a 2.
Huh. It's even that is like 7 or 8 too high. Yes.
Huh.
46.
Person here knows, this is the thing, you don't need to make bologna better, just don't eat it. Exactly. I agree with that. And you know who probably agrees with that? Honolulu. But he's going to have to tell us about it after Eddie. Eddie, you're on the air. What's going on?
Not much, Brian. How are you doing today?
All right, do it. Let's hear it. Sasha.
Okay, so as of Friday SmackDown, Sasha Banks is still a baby.
No, she's not, Eddie. I'm starting to believe that you're not in the Thunderdome.
According to the Thunderdome host,
no,
she is still a babyface, and the Thunderdome host wanted to see the Sasha Banks bling. I can send you the audio clip of the Thunderdome host saying that.
Well, how can I confirm that's a Thunderdome host? That could be your mother.
Don't be a truther, Brian. You're being a truther.
I'm not being a truther. This
yes,
is ridiculous.
You are. You're being
it's the Thunderdome host.
I know this is hard for you to understand. I know this is hard for you to accept, Brian, but you don't be one of those people. Don't be a flat earther when it comes to Sasha Banks and popularity.
I didn't say she wasn't popular. I didn't say that she wasn't a great wrestler. I said there's no
way.
There's no way that this character is a baby face.
Good girl.
No. Eddie, I'm sorry. I got to let you go. I can't take more of Mike.
Brian, that's what they said.
I'm blaming this on Mike.
That's why you're
She's not a good girl.
That's why you're not the host at the Thunderdome. You're not towing the line, Brian.
This is not about towing the line. This is about reality. If more people lived in reality, we'd have less problems. All right, Honolulu. You're next after Bedford, PA. What's going on?
have a question about Luke Gallows.
That's not bad for PA.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Is this Ryan in Cumberland?
No, this is Ryan's brother, Bradley.
Well, I'm afraid you've got the wrong number. Stick around, buddy. I'm actually going to go to Honolulu.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Honolulu. All right. Okay. Shout out to the Twitch homies. It's David from Honolulu. I got two topics. Number one, I want to get your opinion on the Jim Cornette controversy. And number two, what were your thoughts on
the Jim Cornette controversy?
Do you eat spam? Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that even mean, Honolulu?
With Penelope Ford and Miro.
Oh.
What is this?
And also, what was your opinions on Sacrifice?
Get out of here, you idiot. What do you think, Ryan? What do you think of the Jim Cornette controversy?
I think Jim Cornette's pretty cool.
That's what you think of the controversy? You think Jim Cornette is pretty cool?
I don't believe his political views, but I think he's straight on his wrestling views.
You think he's straight on his wrestling views? Like Ryan can't even keep a straight face on this call.
You hear him.
He's literally giggling in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Brett Kremen?
I'm not giggling, Brian.
What's your question?
My question is about Impact Wrestling. They had two legend wrestlers from Dublin, Maryland.
What are you doing with your telephone?
Really? Who did what? Two Dave wrestlers Griffin. From Cumberland?
It's like Sunday. It's like a magnet. It's like a radio magnet. Like there's something with radioactive electromagnetic waves on Sunday that just cause, like, you know. You know what I'm saying? Through the phone, into the brain.
Do they still pull back the AM frequencies at night now? Is that still a thing? Does anybody broadcast on AM anymore besides 50,000 watts?
Dude, we do. We're on AM.
I know. Like the Mightier 1090. They got all of it out there. You can't get that in Cumberland, Maryland, though, unless you got like the TuneIn app.
This Ryan bloke saw me on the chat saying that I didn't watch Sacrifice, and so he's going to call into the show and ask me my thoughts on Sacrifice. Why would you do that?
No, it was...
Because it's something you would do. You do it to me all the time.
No.
Yes, you have.
Yes, Ryan.
Prick.
It was the Impact TV show, not the pay-per-view.
But I didn't watch the Impact TV show.
Wrestlers appeared.
Who? What wrestlers? What's your question?
Okay, my question is, are they having a working relationship with Elite Pro Wrestling since it was the owner of Elite Pro Wrestling that appeared on the show? And I know that Impact...
It's Honolulu somebody... laughing. He's still on No Wonder.
What? Is you didn't, a three-way you didn't... call?
You didn't hang
Mom,
up on
hang
the,
up
loon.
Phone.
On the line.
Eddie, hang up.
Yeah, you're still on the line. I mean, how do you not know that? You're on the phone. You idiots. Get out of here.
I'm
sick of both of you. Back in a moment. Observer Live.
45.
So I think it was Unagi. This was all in Japanese. They didn't have the English commentators. And I actually could probably look it up right now. But one of them for sure was born in 2003. That would have been Unagi. Born in 2003. No, I'm sorry. Unagi was born in 1989. And is that right? Future of Stardom, yeah. Ruck is born. Anyway, 17 years old by my math. Wait, is that right? I'm not good at math. Anyway. Very young. What would it be? 2003? Help me out here. What year is it? The fuck year is it? 2001? No, wait. No, it's 2021, right? Minus... I got... this fucking calculator. God damn it. Now you've got me all sweaty.
Oh, my God.
2000...
This is an all-timer.
Did I say 2003 or 2004? When was she born?
You said 2003. She's either 17 or 18.
She's 17.
Depending on her birthday.
She's 17. When's it was 2004.
When is her birthday?
You know,
birthday?
The funny thing is when I got her birthday off Wikipedia, her fucking age was right under it, and I decided to do the
when
math instead.
When is her birthday?
It's August of 2004. Fuck you. She's 17 years old. She's fucking awesome.
Well, that means she was probably 16 when she was working.
I was watching this match with this fucking 17-year-old. And I'm like, she's better than... I hate to do these comparisons because it makes people mad. But I mean, with the exception of like Sasha, Becky.
Asuka.
Charlotte Asuka. And I mean, I'm not even sure about all those. But I mean, she's fucking good.
Rhea? Rhea's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I just thought, fuck.
Okay, well, who won the match? Can you tell us anything about the match? Because you couldn't tell us their age or who's who. So who won?
Ruaka won.
Thank you.
To win the match.
Okay, Cosmic Angels versus Queen's
Fuck
Quest,
me.
Please.
God damn it. The match was really good is my point.
Dude.
It was like really good.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying?
If I can
it
nominate,
was very good.
If I can nominate anything for the best of 2021,
17
it's
seconds.
That. It's you not being able to do the math, the 18-year math or 17-year math. We just went to a parent-teacher conference for Finn last week, and they said that the goal, one of the goals is to have them be able to do addition and subtraction up to 30 by all the numbers, Brian. You would have failed that just now.
Yeah, but dude, I got a lot of things on my mind. Can we move on here?
44.
We're going to be doing a review of September 21st, 1985 card from Puerto Rico. Yes, World Wrestling Council, a very controversial promotion. About 3 years later, a man will be murdered there, less than 3 years later, actually. Be murdered in cold blood in the dressing room. Lots of allegations over the years of very dirty politics, money problems, all sorts of underbelly of like almost a mob-like culture, it seems like, there in World Wrestling Council, unruly fans, riots, and much more. So we go back right smack dab in the middle of my favorite era of pro wrestling, the 1980s. We're going to look at one of their big shows, their 12th anniversary show, Anniversario 1985. Now then, at this point in time, I don't remember what match happens next and what order it happens in, but we'll talk about them as they come up here. We got the Universal Champion, the champion of the entire universe, not just the WWE universe, but the entire universe, Carlos Colon. He battles Abdullah the Butcher to a double countout. They had a long-running feud here. Their matches weren't ever really that good. They basically just stood and hit each other with their fist and cut each other open and bled all over the place. Their matches, looking back at them now, were really kind of boring, really not that good. There was just lots of blood involved. You could, in fact, go back to 1985 and perhaps on a toy aisle somewhere in Estados Unidos, yes, the United States, you might find, in fact, a two-pack of wrestlers from the Remco Toy Company. I recently talked about this on a special at whenitwascool.com. If you become a Patreon supporter over there, you get that show. Remco actually put out it was the next year, but the toy line started in 85, of Carlos Colon and Abdullah the Butcher. You could play action figures with these fellows. And here they are carving each other's heads up down in Puerto Rico. Carlos retains the Universal Championship in a double countout. Not really that intriguing a matchup. So I thought, well, that's awful odd to have the Universal Champion this early in the card. What's the main event going to be? Well, we got some getting there to get to that, and it's really weird. The NWA World Heavyweight Champion is, in fact, on this show. You're going to love who he's facing. Now, we also have, talking about fat dudes fighting, we got another fat dude coming up, Kamala the Ugandan Giant, very similar in gimmick to one Abdullah the Butcher. He's coming up next, and guess who he's taking on? His rival up here in the States, one Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. Yes, Jimmy Valiant. Jimmy Valiant beats Kamala by DQ. It is a terrible match, as all Jimmy Valiant matches are in this era. Jimmy Valiant's doing his whole weird dancing, coming out to the boy from New York City music, and that reminds me of something. Hugo Savinovich gives Jimmy Valiant a cake for his birthday on the way to the ring. Like, this is just, no. And I thought, well, you know, they're going to get the cake thrown on in one of them's face, and they did. They roll around on the cake in the ring. But yes, I guess it is tradition, in fact, in Puerto Rico, when you're standing there bleeding with your hepatitis dripping all over everybody, fans throwing rocks and urine at you, let's don't forgo the tradition of getting a birthday cake if it's your birthday on the way to the ring. God bless Puerto Rican professional wrestling. World Wrestling Council. Maybe it stands for World Wrestling Cake. I don't know. But Jimmy Valiant didn't get his match and eat his cake, too. He got his cake smeared all over everything. Now, we need to back up a second and talk about entrance music. Yes, in this videotape, they left the original entrance music in, which is wonderful when we get to the Road Warriors here in a minute. Not so wonderful when we get to Carlos Colon. Because standing in the ring, as there is the horrendous Abdullah the Butcher standing there just waiting to infect people with bloodborne diseases, standing there with his carved-up head, his red breeches, God only knows what in his pants he's going to pull out to hit people in the face with. How music starts playing, and these 22,000 fans are on their feet going, "Woo! All right, it's a hero." And I'm listening and I'm going, is that We Are the World? We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day for Carlos Colon to come to the ring to. Yes, We Are the World starts playing, and out comes Carlos Colon to this sappy African famine relief song to fight Abdullah the Butcher in blood. What a weird choice for music. In the ring, we have a man you know I love dearly, Boring Funk Jr. He's in the ring looking as only good old Dory can, like he just rolled out of bed, didn't bother with any underwear, just pulled his trunks on, put his boots on. Probably, you know what? He's probably one of those people, one of those weirdos that don't wear socks with boots. Puts those on. He's shaved, I don't know, Tuesday of last week. Shows up in front of 22,000 people here at San Juan, Puerto Rico, at Hiram Bethorn Stadium. And his opponent is one Sweet Brown Sugar. His real name's, I presume it's his real name, Skip Young. And Skip Young is a flippy flopper. He's a high flyer of the flip-flop fashion. He's going to do jumps and flips and twirly-dos and all that good stuff. In fact, the match begins. Good old Boring Funk Jr. standing over in the corner, slowly looking around. And out comes Sweet Brown Sugar flipping and flopping right to the middle of the ring, doing handstand springboards, and runs right up in Dory's face. And Dory slowly looks at him, takes his hands, and motions, "Back off, young man." And I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Dory ain't having none of this flipping, flopping stuff. Come on. And he don't. So they immediately, Sweet Brown Sugar, he's like, you can see he's just twitching, just waiting to jump off something. And Dory grabs him in a headlock. And time stands still. And he goes to the match in this mat in this headlock. And time stands still. And you know it's good old former NWA world champion. He's saying, now slow down, Skip. Let's work this hold. And 22,000 people in San Juan, Puerto Rico at Hiram Bithorn Stadium are going like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. And they lay there, and they lay there, and they stand up, and they stand there, and they lay there, and they stand there, and they lay there some more. And time stands still, and grass grows, and paint dries. And Dory is like, we're not having any of them flips now. So Skip Young does manage to get a drop kick in, a couple of them. Dory, like, casually stumbles back a couple feet, slowly sits down on the mat, then falls over like, I've been hit by a drop kick. So out comes Jesse Barr. Now, for those of us in kayfabe world, we know that Jesse is the cousin of Dory Funk Jr. because he was Jimmy Jack Funk up in the WWF. So Jesse comes out, having previously wrestled and defeated Medic One earlier in the day, and he gets involved helping his cousin Dory Jr. out. And they double team old Skip Young, old Sweet Brown Sugar here. And they throw him back to the ring, and lo and behold, out of the blue, Skip Young gets a flash pin on Dory Funk Jr. and wins the match. Dory slowly stands up, and I'm sure when they get to the back to the dressing room, Dory comes over to shake. So, well, I guess it would be Skip goes over to thank Dory Funk Jr., former NWA World Champion, for putting over Sweet Brown Sugar here in Puerto Rico. Goes over to shake his hand. Conversation probably goes something like, "Thank you very, very much, Mr. Funk. Thank you very much for putting me over. It's an honor and pleasure to be your former World Champion. Thank you very much for putting me over." Flip. And Dory Funk Jr. goes, "It was my pleasure, Skip. I hope we can wrestle again someday. I'm going back to Amarillo now and taking my cousin Jesse Jack Jimmy Barr Funk with me." And that, folks, is what wraps up the video on YouTube. Charming classic. WWC 12th Anniversary, Anniversario, September 21st, 1985. What a collection of freaks, misfits. 43.
So they have a very, very fun match. Pac's making his comeback. And then there's a guy who has been with Andrade the whole time, but he's never done anything, hasn't spoken. He's just hung out in the background. They've never identified him. Suddenly, he's on the apron. We are told his name is Jose. And Jose starts to...
Yeah, who was this guy?
I just told you, it's Jose.
No, who is Jose?
The guy who's been in the background doing nothing for weeks.
I didn't even notice he'd ever even been there. He's done so little. I knew Chavo was there.
Sure.
But then this Jose guy shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who in the fuck is Jose? And I had no earthly idea who Jose was. Honestly, I still don't know.
He's the third guy when they do interviews.
Who is he?
Jose!
You two idiots. Do any of you fuckers know who Jose is?
He's the third guy.
Bro, fuck off. Who is he? Do you know? Right.
There is no more information.
Okay, so you don't know.
There is a third guy. His name is Jose. That's the extent of the information.
But you don't know anything about him. You don't know why he's there.
No.
You know everything we know.
Yeah.
Okay, so who the fuck is this guy?
Jose.
No, that's not enough for me, you moron. God damn it, I'm trying to make a point here that no one knows who this guy is.
I think you've made your point, Brian, and so have we.
You guys are absolute,
yes,
dunderheads today. Vinny's pink again.
Look at him.
God help me.
There's no other answer, Brian. I have no more information for you about who this Jose person is.
We are all in the same.
Thank God nobody in the chat knows who he is either.
Good.
He is Jose. Oh, thanks, chat. I thought we just determined that's not enough. I don't like when there's someone on TV that I don't know who they are. And they're like supposed to be in.
Whatever you do, turn on MTV tonight.
Listen, you idiot. My point is, if I'm watching a show every week, okay, it's one thing if there's someone on the TV who I can't identify, but they're just like there. Okay, whatever. Who cares? But when that person is playing a pivotal role in a big match, I better know who this fucking guy is. Oh, there's Jose. They said who?
No, that's
how do I know it was Jose and not Carlos? I don't, because I don't know who the guy is.
Well, I told you it was
anyway, Jose interfered.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's distracted.
Distracted.
He pulls out a taser and starts firing it randomly in the air, which is not how tasers work.
No.
But it distracts the referee. Chavo then gets in the ring.
Wait a second. What do you mean Jose is the translator for Andrade? That's Chavo, right?
As far as I know.
He needs two translators? No one is that bad at Spanish or English.
Well, either way.
He's actually pretty good at Spanish.
Maybe you need two translators.
So
that's racist. I'm a Mexican. Are you really Brian? Yes, Brian Alvarez is fucking... I'm half Mexican. My father is 100% Mexican. My father swam the Rio Grande to get here. This is all true. This guy thinks he's his lawyer. His lawyer?
Lawyer?
What does he have a lawyer for? Why does Andrade need a lawyer that's on TV all the time?
When has that been mentioned, that Andrade has a lawyer?
I didn't know he had a lawyer. And if he's his lawyer, what's he interfering in a match for? He should know that's illegal.
Mm,
that's very true.
Strong point there.
Bro, this person says he is the translator, but Chavo is the spokesman. Yeah, what? He's a spokesman for someone who doesn't speak a lot of English, so he translates. Right?
Well, does
he
Chavo
has two translators.
Anyway.
Riley McPherson wants to know, who is Jose?
What are you laughing about, Granny? Who is he?
I don't know. He's some Mexican.
Racist. She is not Mexican.
She's German.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. No, you're German, not Jose.
Oh.
I mean, he may be German. I'm basically half German,
probably,
right?
German Jose out there.
Half German, half Mexican.
Whatever. All
right, let's get going here.
42. Do you hear the Heyman thing with on Christian?
The Heyman thing on Christian, no.
Okay, so this was not on the show. It was on Talking Smack. Let me see. I don't want to misquote anyone. Let me see if I've got it in one of these papers, because I know I actually got it to write. I saw it on the show when Talking Smack aired this morning. Hold on. Let me see what we got. Wow, I got a million notes here. For this even. Let's get this. It's here. Could be this. Yes, here it is. Oh, that actually screwed up. The printer screwed up. But anyway, so the gist of this is that, so I'm going to paraphrase what I remember as opposed to word for word, which I was going to tell you. So anyway, Heyman's basic thing is that Edge's best friend got out of town because he knew that Roman Reigns was going to beat his ass as part of the, you know, getting at Edge by beating up his best friend. So he got out of town. So that was the Christian thing. And he made a remark about that, in fact, Roman Reigns causes Christians to convert. So that was his line.
41.
The Austins arrive at the building. So the gimmick is for the entire show, Austin is very paranoid that Kurt Angle is going to jump out of nowhere and kill him. And so, of course, everyone tries to surprise him over and over again. So he's going on a rant.
I don't have the drop, everybody. I know you're waiting for it to play. It's Brian. Long disappeared into the ether.
Brian, I warned you.
But this is one of the greatest moments in the history of the invasion. And quite frankly, I mean, some people may have just thought it was like mildly entertaining. No. But we got so much mileage out of Stephanie McMahon saying, Kurt's probably taken scuba diving lessons at the bottom of the Detroit River. And Steve Austin rears back. And he goes, ah! He grabs his belly. He grabs his fucking belly for this belly laugh. Mm-hmm. And he laughs and he laughs and he laughs. It was as good today as it was 21 fucking years ago.
Just like Brian did it, except bring it down about 4 octaves.
Oh, it was the greatest.
Tori bounces out to watch Tajiri get beaten.
My goodness.
Sorry. So Big Show gets that was the reaction they were shooting for.
Yeah.
So Big Show gets his hot tag, which I described as laughably great, and I mean it as high praise. He's throwing these Dudleys so damn high in the air, I'm laughing out loud, thinking they may never come down. It's fantastic. But then Tajiri tries to mist the Dudleys, as Heyman put it, the mist missed. It hit Big Show in the face instead. Big Show bonks into Tori. She goes flying.
The mist missed?
Yes. The mist.
Did the
M-I-S-T.
Did the mist missed, or was it missed? Or was it both? Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Caught me off guard. I was not prepared for Creighton to be bullseye Steve Austin like that.
It was not bad. Not bad.
The camera angle added a lot to it. When Austin did it, it was from the side, right?
Yeah.
Craig's like a three quarters view, so when he goes to the middle lap, he leans very far away.
Yeah, the only problem was the chair didn't tip over. I would have liked to have seen feet fly up in the air at the end of that laugh. Anyway, Tori came out. Holy smokes.
Anyway, the Dudleys win. They are the top contenders to the Brothers of Destruction, and they put Tajiri through a table afterwards.
Did you even mention Tori came out?
I did.
That was the whole story of the match, Vinny.
And then I mentioned Craig's reaction to it, but you wouldn't know, Brian, because you never pay attention to anything
I
said.
Well, I was watching him laugh like an idiot.
That was before that.
I know, but I was fixated. Anyway.
On his laugh?
Yeah.
Before it happened.
I was thinking of 25 comebacks, and then they all failed.
Uh-huh. Well, you got your...
Most of your comebacks failed.
Oh, get out of here, Vinny. You're going to end up at the bottom of the Detroit River.
I'm doing another one.
So Deborah is on the phone with what we are told are, and I quote, Canadian police.
Right.
It's like one Mounties? Cop office in the entire...
They should have had the fucking Mountie on the other side of the line.
Oh, what a missed opportunity.
That would have been the greatest.
And his theme song would have been his ringtone.
As if we need to take this shit seriously, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's ridiculous. I mean, see how it says, hello, Canadian police? So, at this point, as they're on the phone with the Canadian police, there's a TV set in their room, and magically, they see on their monitor Kurt Angle driving up on a bridge. And he pulls a blindfolded and chained Steve Austin out of the bed of the truck, teases throwing him off the bridge repeatedly, determines this bridge is not high enough, he throws Austin back in the truck and drives away. And back in the arena, Steph sends the Alliance to go do something, and they all run out.
They did nothing.
Were they supposed to do comb Toronto for...
I don't know.
How many bridges could there possibly be in Toronto?
I bet a lot.
Thank you, Vinny.
Yes.
You should be in the fucking invasion. You should be one of these lackeys.
Okay, I'm sorry.
40. Okay, so now I have this one. I just made notes and I didn't recopy it. Nash versus DDP Page. So Nash comes out with Hogan with him. So Nash, one of them throws the belt at the ref. A slow start, kick on shins, backward drop, back chop on middle of back of Nash. How come you're not interrupting me?
I'm just listening. Granny, I don't interrupt all the time. I mean, do you want me to?
Well, I'm used to it, so...
Well, usually we interrupt when there's, like, a glaring error. Like, you got an email from Vinny. That's a glaring error.
So I'm going to have to start making more mistakes, okay?
Oh, now you want me to interrupt?
Whatever.
Okay. Is Max Headroom on the show?
Granny's connection's terrible tonight. It's not your fault, Granny. Something's wrong with your internet, but go ahead. Talk about DDP.
DDP Page.
Maybe I got too many. Yeah. I might have too many saves on there. Knee to midsection of Page. Three bag punches on a Page.
I may need to start interrupting here, Granny. Three bag punches? Maybe bad?
No.
Or do you punch him in the bag?
Big.
Big.
Three big punches on Page.
Okay, I got it.
At ringside, Page, a bad guy, Rick on the rope, jumps on his back, drop on turnbuckle, ref down, Hogan comes in, someone came in, fought with Hogan. I guess Nash won as I got the two mixed up, didn't know who was who. I think Nash won. That was a five.
Yeah, this is much better than usual, Granny. We don't know what's going on.
It's supposed to be worse than usual.
Well, it's something.
Well, you did confuse Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash.
Yeah, those guys are hard to confuse, Granny. One guy's really tall with long hair, and the other is not as tall, and he's bald.
Wait a minute. I have to find this one.
This is called Revenge.
Okay, now this one is... maybe I'm not too close enough to the mic. This one is WCW 1997. No Holds Barred. Great American Bash. Diamond Dallas Page versus Macho Man Randy Travis.
Excuse me, Randy Travis?
Just let her go.
That's what it's...
It's Randy Savage.
Oh, okay. My first mistake.
Yes. Randy Travis, a country singer?
First one. Yes, he is. Yes, he's okay. A country singer, Granny. Randy Travis.
Oh, I remember him.
Oh, apparently. Oh, yeah, this guy. I remember him.
Since they have so many names, we'll call them Paige and Macho.
Mm-hmm. That's a fine idea.
They do have a lot of names.
Macho comes in like a savage, causes pain on Sage. Threw out of the ring for Macho in a poke in the eye. Drops Macho on top rope. Out come the sticks. Wound up going through the crowd. Paige in charge. Back in. Paige has some powder. Throws it in Macho's face. Then knocks the ref down. And gave the ref a tombstone. The ref was out more than the wrestlers were. Paige is way ahead of things. Macho tries to leave. Paige catches him. They wind up in a barbecue pit. Macho throws all he can find at Paige. Back in the ring, Paige again knocks the ref out. They go to top row, fall down hard, both out. A guy comes in from outside, pulls the ref across the mat over to where the guys are laying, and takes his hand and hits it, bangs it three times for Paige to win. So Paige won even when he was out.
Wow.
I like Randy, that match.
You liked it? What'd you give it?
I give it an 8.
Holy smokamoles. Jiminy Christmas.
There was a lot more action in there.
Well, there was a lot of action in WCW, yes.
Yes.
And eight. Paige, he was just terrible. Beat the heck out of Macho.
Yeah,
forever and ever, amen.
Oh, damn it, Craig, beat me to it.
But I like that one. That's all I have.
Granny, that was an excellent, excellent job today. Am I wrong, guys?
Absolutely not.
Fantastic work, Granny.
Yes. Anytime Randy Travis wrestles a match and you review it, Granny, that's a win.
39.
Got a girl, she works in the white folk yard. She brings me meal, I swear she brings me love. She brings me meal, honey, she brings me lard. She brings me everything, honey, that a girl can steal.
Well, everybody, it is the Brian and Vinny and Craig and Granny Show here today. What's going on, Vinny? Look who's in studio here today.
It's me.
Yeah, it actually looks like you're in a cave. You pretty much are.
It's your cave.
Well, here's the deal, everybody. So, for those of you, I mean, I don't know how you would find this if you didn't know all about this, but we're doing a retro 2005 show here today.
Sure.
And boy, is it ever retro. It's more retro than everybody actually knows, quite frankly. We got Dick Justice Cocaine here playing at the beginning of the show. We got Vinny over here in studio, just like in the old days. This mic that I'm using right now is the same microphone that I used for IATA.
Wow.
Yeah, 1999. And you know what's funny? It wasn't even new at the time. They sent it to me. So I don't even know who's been spitting into this thing for the last 30 years. Vinny's got the same mic that he was using back in the day. I paid $99 to get Craig the same one just because I'm out of my mind.
Yes. Yes, you are.
So a lot of people have wanted us to do a retro shoe for a long time, and so I finally broke down. And actually, Vinny was the one that suggested that we review Impact.
I think someone else brought it up, but I agreed.
Yeah, Vinny agreed.
Didn't suggest.
Yeah. And so I've always said I didn't want to do this, and people go, oh, well, the old shows were so fun. They were so good. And I've said the same thing. They sounded like shit. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, just go on and on. So you know what? This show is going to sound like shit. I got old, shitty microphones.
Thank God I drove all the way out here for this.
I'm plugging them right straight into the fucking thing over there. And there's nothing on them. I'm not even going to normalize
it. No, there's no pop filters.
You're going to have to crank. Yeah, there's no pop filters. You're going to have to crank your audio all the way up to hear it when you listen back to the replay. It's just going to be as shitty as it was in 2005. I don't want to hear any bitching about it. Because you guys asked for a retro show, and God damn it, you're going to get a retro show here. Now, there is one difference, and that is that I never drank on the air back in the old days, but because Vinny is returning to studio here today, I am going to have a shot of this lovely fucking absinthe right here.
Mm-hmm.
How many times is this song going to play over and over again? So I'm going to have a shot of this absinthe here, and then we're going to get going. Granny's going to be joining us here today, and Craig has chosen... Yes. The show that we're going to watch. Right, Craig?
Yes, sir.
What is that?
That is October 1st, 2005, Impact Wrestling, the very first show they did on Spike TV.
The very first show that they did on Spike TV. Mm-hmm. 1 hour, and...
And that's it.
And I got a lot to say about this show.
Okay.
So, first off, let's do this shot first, and we're going to call Granny. You know what I was thinking of doing on this retro show, but I changed my mind?
Tell me, Brian.
I was going to call Brent.
So I can talk about this now, I think. Somebody, I forget if it was on Twitter or the board, but somebody suggested that for this return to studio, I should pop out of a cake.
Oh, yeah?
And it was a brilliant idea.
I do remember this, actually.
Yeah. It was an absolutely brilliant idea. Logistically, it would not work. We cannot sneak a cake into the studio without you noticing, figuring out what was going on. But I had the counter-brilliant idea was we bring a cake in, and then when it's time to start the show, Brent pops out.
You did have that idea.
And then we put him back in the cake and make him sit there for the whole hour.
I can't have Brent in the house and something would go wrong with the cake. I thought that you could bring the cake in and everyone would expect that you'd pop out of it, but then the gobbledygooker would come out of it.
That would work too.
That was my other idea. We got a lot of surprises here on the show today, everybody. I don't want to waste everyone's time, so I'm going to take the shot and then we're going to call Granny. So, absinthe. 55% alcohol by volume.
Cheers.
Let's do this. 1, 2, 3.
Hit it. Bang.
You know what's funny?
Well,
yes, I do know what's funny. Mm-hmm. I'm well aware of what's funny.
What's funny is I cannot drink beer. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate liquor. And anytime somebody tells me, oh, but such and such tastes good, it's like, what a load of horseshit. There's no liquor that tastes good except absinthe.
Mm.
I don't know what it is, but I just fucking love the taste of this absinthe. And it is strong shit. All right, so we're going to call Granny here today. Excuse me, did you say we're going to call Granny here today? Yes, I did, in fact. Because you guys wanted a retro show, so you're going to get it. We're not going to connect her. We're going to call her.
I see.
Yeah, and I've forgotten her phone number, but luckily I've got my Sprint... pocket PC right here, which should have her number in it. So I'm going to find it here.
Hey, is Vinny's video frozen?
No.
Okay. Just on my end.
Yeah. Doesn't matter anyway.
You know what I look like.
I do.
Okay. Let's call Granny, everybody. So stand by. And Vinny, talk for a while. I got to figure this out.
Well, Craig, you can't see me because I'm frozen, but I...
Oh, there you are.
Yes. I have. For those of you wondering... I am wearing glasses because when the show started in 2005, I was wearing glasses and not contact lenses.
Yes, yes.
So I've broken out. Yes, in fact, the same pair of glasses from back then.
Wow.
Which is why it's better than nothing, but I'm going to have such a headache when we're done.
I don't know if Jared can zoom out right here to see my shirt that I've got here. Some of you might remember Livid.
Steaming mad.
Yes, I still have this shirt.
That is stunning.
Yeah.
You, as we were preparing, you shared an old photo from the old studio in your one-bedroom apartment in, was that Woodinville?
Yes.
Woodinville. And we tried to recreate it as faithfully as... I've also shaved a goatee.
You shaved a goatee. That's right. I've got one of my old backwards hats. I wore hats a lot in that time.
Yes.
I got the guitar behind me right here because I hit you with the guitar in that picture we were looking at.
Yes.
I've got the original Youth Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
Which in 2005 was still mine. Mm. You hadn't beaten me for it yet. Anyway, Granny's getting impatient, so let's call her right here and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Hopefully this works. Fucking dizzy already.
Me too.
Hello.
Hey, look who's here. Granny's on the air. What's going on, Granny?
I suppose I'm going to have to turn off my fan.
No, we can't actually hear the fan today. But we can hear a loud whistling in the background. I don't even know what that is.
It's actually better.
What is that?
Smoke alarm.
Probably my hearing aid.
Your hearing aid is making a loud whistling noise?
Well, if I touch it, it has a buzzing sound.
I see. Well, don't touch it, please.
If I have to phone up to it.
She's on the phone, Brian.
So, Vinny, before we go into the Facebook here, I do have something I want to do here.
Which you do?
We haven't done it in a while. I should have done it at the very beginning, but I forgot. Do you remember your old entrance music, Vinny?
For actual, in-ring wrestling?
You have forgotten, I see. Well, let me play it here for you.
Fuck me now, I'm a real fucking bitch.
No, I don't remember this at all.
I'm a homicidal, genocidal, suicidal, 7-foot guy in baggy pants who eats a lot. I enjoyed it because I got to eat 4 hamburgers. I'm getting a ring. I'm going to get in a match. I'm going to wrestle.
You are worse than Hulk Hogan.
I'm going to pin you to the mat. And if John Cena interferes, I'll lay him out flat.
Worse than Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson.
I'm going to beat you with your own move, the figure four leg lock.
I cannot for the life of me remember who was using that music, but somebody heavy used that music, Vinny.
Was it the fake Rosie O'Donnell?
I think it was, and you laughed uproariously at it, and then that turned into a drop where that became your music.
Yes, the listeners never laugh.
Yes, yes. All right, let's do this Facebook. What do we got here today?
Apparently, Granny said, somebody made a post from Granny's Facebook saying her computer is down for the show tonight. Thoughts?
I did it.
On Vinny's return to the studio or questions?
Yeah, I woke up and I wrote her post for her and then I couldn't go back to sleep, so I'm exhausted right now.
Drew Blanton wants to know if I have played any good board games lately. And ordinarily, I would say this is Granny's segment, the questions for Granny, but the fact is I have played some fun games lately. Last weekend, I got together with 3 other fully vaccinated friends of mine. We got together and played Marvel Champions, the card game. It had mixed reviews. I thought it was pretty crunchy, pretty complicated game.
Pretty crunchy?
That's the gaming term, yes. Mm. I mean, it's very convoluted and complicated.
Is that why Honolulu's gimmick here is XX crunchy?
Hadn't thought of that. It might be. Then we played Joking Hazard, a cyanide and happiness game from the webcomic. That was much more fun. And drunken hijinks were had by all. So yes, the answer is yes. I have played some, not technically board games, but tabletop games.
Yeah, I've been playing Mr. Fox with my daughter.
Not familiar.
I'm not either. Yeah. You go, Mr. Fox, what time is it? And then the other person says, 3 o'clock, and you have to take 3 steps, and then you do it again. And then eventually you say lunchtime, and then that means you go running, and the other person tries to catch you.
I see.
I don't know if it's a real game or not, but she told me about it, so we've been playing it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
As long as she's happy.
You know who just retweeted my tweet about this show, of all people?
Brent?
Dustin Rhodes.
What?
I hope he's listening right now and disgusted.
Wow. Well, I mean, when you spend a lot of time on the road, you'll take any podcast material you can get.
Bottom of the barrel.
The absolute bottom of the barrel. Colin Cox wants to know if Granny has now taken to talking about herself in the third person.
Yeah, Granny, do you do that? Well, no, I know what he's talking about. That was me, Mr. Cox. I wonder if you could play Mr. Fox with Mr. Cox.
Yeah, but you get in trouble.
You would regret it. You would regret it. Let's see. Heath Katie wants to know if this means Vinny will become new president of the Empire. I think I was president once, and like nothing happened.
I think Tom's been president for like 9 years
I was
now.
A terrible president.
What about you, Granny? You want to be president of the Empire?
No, thank you.
Mm. I don't blame you.
Excuse me? You're right over there?
Yeah, I almost burped. I'm a drunk. What do you expect?
Mike,
are you guys drinking?
I am.
Only Brian.
I'm drinking. Celebrating yeah. Vinny's return to the studio right here, which looks slightly better than when he was in his house, but only slightly. So anyway,
I'm honestly not sure about
I'll explain this to everybody, goddammit. So when we started doing video, I got a giant fucking light
There's a monster umbrella.
And there's another light here, and there's another light there. And I just redid everything because honestly, I thought no one's ever coming back into the studio again. Like the desk that Craig used to sit at, it's gone. Long gone. Yeah. And Vinny's everything was it was gone. There's nothing here but my command center. Mm. And so when Vince was about to come back, he was like, oh, God, now I got to rebuild that.
Yeah.
So I rebuilt his desk and I put his mic in. But then it was like, what am I going to do for lights? Because I'm not putting another one of these things in this room. It's hot enough as it is.
And your house burned down, yeah.
Yes, and then we didn't have another light. The other light wasn't working. So I have lights on order. But for now, there's just one light on Vinny.
And you put your camera is directly between the two of us?
Yes.
So I cannot see your eyes.
I like it better that way.
But I can't see your mouth very clearly.
Well, that's all you need to see, dude.
There's a very, very Max Headroom kind of thing going on.
Yes, yes. Things change, everybody.
Yes.
The more they change, the more they stay the same.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
I could have screwed that up, but...
You got it right. It just seems totally inappropriate for this instance.
Read another one.
Mike Rutter wants... Well, not even has a question. He has a comment. The new movie coming to Spike TV, The Geek, The Stud, and The Golden Boat.
What does this have to do with anything?
I don't know.
Okay.
Surely I am the stud, though.
I don't know about that.
I can only assume.
All right. I think we're done with Facebook right here. Let's get Granny on here to do her... So what we're doing here today is, because it's old school, the very first time that Granny was ever on this show... She read from the Fabulous Moolah's book. You remember that? She did a book review.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to go old school today, and she's only going to read from the Undertaker's book as opposed to reviewing wrestling matches.
Great idea.
Okay, I'm lucky because if I only had two going with my computer, I would have had a rough afternoon. Okay, here we go. The Mortician. Always at, am I close enough?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. The Mortician. Always at the dead man's side is its manager, Paul Bearer. A certified, honest, and goodness mortician. Bearer is proud of the high. Another page turn. Marks he received in mortician school and saved. Says he thoroughly enjoyed the training. Bearer seems totally loyal to the Undertaker as they both share a secret bond. Oh, yes, says Paul. My Undertaker means the end for many of in the Federation. He is the man from the other side, from the darkness. His task is to reveal to people that in all of us there is darkness. My Undertaker simply brings it to the surface. When he and the Undertaker approach the ring, Bearer carries a bronze funeral urn. The Undertaker seems to derive strange power from the urn. The times of trouble, he is drawn to it. We at World Wrestling Federation magazine have tried many times to discover what is in that container. Thus far, we have been unsuccessful. Another short one. Grim warning. When he first came to the Federation, the Undertaker issued a grim warning and a prediction in a voice that echoed up the tomb. I am here to be the death of the careers of many of the Federation. I will take their futures, their very soul. I will make them feel as if they were
I
in
fixed
the grave,
it, Jared. But sorry, go ahead.
Unable to control their destiny, they will be mown down like dead grass before its sight. I will send them across that river to the other side where only shadow lies and nothing else exists. His prediction has come true. The Undertaker has stalked through the Federation, leaving a host of opponents destroyed. Some wishing, as he also predicted, that they had never been born. That's that for there.
Very good, Granny.
Excellent, excellent job, Granny.
Is it just me, or does she sound a little bit like Linus from the Charlie Brown Christmas special?
She sounds like one of the teachers. I fixed the peaking for everybody, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize.
Okay, I know we said we were done with Facebook.
But you know what? I could go back and start over again, but that's not what we would have done in 2005. It would just been really shitty, and then I would have fixed it in the middle of the show, and then it would have got better.
Yeah. I must return to Facebook.
Oh, yes, Granny.
I don't think I have to wear my hearing aid anymore because you're pretty loud, so...
We are loud people.
I can hear without my hearing aid.
Vinny wants to go back to Facebook for something. What's going on?
All right, so you recall a week or two ago we were talking about poetry and four-line poems and limericks, and I mentioned somebody should do a sonnet.
Okay.
Michael.
Yeah, actually you did. Someone sent us one. Michael, you going to read that one?
Michael Higgins has accepted the challenge here, and he notes it is an iambic pentameter. Oh, how worthy is figure four daily. Is it truly fit for all wrestling fans? Front and center be Brian and Vinny, and Semper Vivi once free from his bands. But once a week we hear the Granny take, and Craig tries hard to keep his composure. While Granny on Brian a guilt trip make, Craig's double entendre is the closer. Brian raises two daughters and wrote two books. A spelling genius buying Olaf dolls. Meanwhile, Vinny still doesn't care for his looks. We miss his walks and loud bee calls. There's more to mention, but this be a sonnet. 14 lines isn't enough to gush on it.
Wow.
That's art.
Oh,
art.
Yes, art. Yes, great. Thank you.
Good.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, so before we go to the impact review, I got something else that I want to play right here, which should harken back to these TNA shows. So let's hear it.
To the back.
You know the best part is that they actually say "to the back" on this particular fucking show.
I said it every damn week, several times a week. It's a reason we started quoting that.
Yeah.
Well, we watched, as it's labeled on YouTube, Impact's full 2005 Spike TV debut episode! Exclamation point.
Yeah, there's a lot of words here. I was worried I was going to watch the wrong one.
Yeah.
And I think I watched the right one.
And at no point did they confirm the date of this show.
No.
No, they didn't.
I looked it up, and I'm glad Craig has confirmed it was October 1st, 2005.
I went back this morning. My normal morning radio show was preempted, and I listened to the audio from 2005 of you guys reviewing the show.
Mm. Why?
Horrible.
There's a time capsule for you.
Yeah. You're in it right now, bro.
Yeah.
Wait, so we reviewed this show?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I didn't go back and listen to that one. I should have. Yeah. I should have just did the exact same review.
word for word.
I got new things to say. Everyone's like, why are they reviewing a show they already reviewed? Well, because in 2005 it was a load of shit. That's why. It was a horrible show. Of course, I guess this one's a horrible show, too, so now I just killed my own argument. But anyway, I got new stuff to say looking at it with modern eyes, this old show. Mm-hmm. So,
before we begin, Brian, should you do a second shot?
No.
I think so.
No.
You sure?
Maybe just half.
I already don't even know which way is up, so this is a bad idea.
Well, look up. That's the way it's up.
No.
All right.
No.
Vinny, the way he pressures you every Christmas show, and you're just going to give up that quickly.
Well, that's the secret.
Yeah, because he's not a dick like I am, Craig. I'll happily admit that. Right, Vinny is a better man than I.
Wow, you are drunk. All right, I'm convinced.
Yeah, it should be enough right there to convince you not to have me drink another one.
For the record, Craig, I mean, I obviously, Brian, I'll go ahead and say he bullies me into getting drunk, but here's the secret. I like being drunk.
Yeah, he likes being drunk. I hate it.
Then why do you bully me?
It's you.
To drink?
Yes.
But you don't.
Exactly.
I gotta at least try. I got to try to get my child to eat fruits and vegetables, even though she ain't gonna. I got to try.
A Monty Brown hype video. And here's where we get some classic Mike Tenay. He's talking about Monty Brown, and he says, he's powerful, he's ferocious, and most importantly, legit. Like, everything he says is a buzzword.
I did like him.
How does he not work for Stephanie McMahon? He's a total ad guy.
They cut to they've wanted him forever, I'm sure, but they cut to a close-up of him, and when he goes, he's legit, I laughed. I'm like, it's all supposed to be fucking legit, right? What do you mean he's legit?
They should have a roster.
What about the rest of these clowns?
30 to 40 legit men.
Are they doing gymnastics or are they fucking fighting?
Yeah, some of them are.
I mean, there was a lot of gymnastics in that opener. I'm not going to lie.
Also, I completely forgot Larry Zbyszko was ever associated with this company.
Oh, I didn't.
I guess he's the commissioner.
Yeah. I don't know. I watch a show and I'm like, what's this guy doing? Who is this guy? I mean, I know who he is, but what's he doing here?
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't realize who it was until I heard him mumble under his breath, moon landing never happened.
So you know whose stuff in TNA I think I actually enjoyed more than anything else they did anywhere else? Shane Douglas.
Okay.
Because Shane Douglas is an outstanding backstage interviewer.
He really is.
And as far as I know, TNA is the only place he ever got to do it. But we cut to Shane Douglas and Monty Brown, and he always starts off, ooh, it's the franchise. He just gets to put himself over first and then interview the guy he's there to theoretically put over. It's Monty Brown. For those of you who don't remember Marquis Corvan, he was an NFL linebacker. He did play in two Super Bowls. He was legit. And when you watch him, we'll get to his match here later, but you watch him, you think, this is like Biggie's uncle.
Okay.
They have many of the same mannerisms.
He had the mannerisms of The Rock. Like the way he'd snap his head to the side when he was about to say something.
A lot of that too.
I was like, dude.
He was not the only man.
You're not The Rock, brother.
Try to imitate The Rock. He sings Immigrant Song, by which I mean the falsetto part. And he welcomes Shane and whoever's in the ring to the Serengeti. So this is a backstage interview, right? They're already in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But Shane throws his fingers to his earpiece and says, wait, there's something going on in the back.
Right.
And we go from the back to the back.
I actually don't think he had an earpiece. I think he was pretending. Like, he just put his finger in his ear.
He may have mimed.
Oh, I hear something
in
my ear.
I would have popped if the camera would have just panned slightly to the left.
Craig, you just popped me bigger than anything on the show. So what we cut to is Raven hitting dudes with trash cans until security subdues him.
Yeah. Great.
His only appearance on the show.
What the fuck did we need that for?
I don't know.
I was supposed to watch as a fan and go, oh, Raven is here. I'm going to watch next week. He's hitting guys with shit.
So we get Monty Brown versus Lex Lovett.
Let me program my VCR.
Conan notes, this is their first show on Spike TV, and Jeff Jarrett is boring new fans half to death. He claims this TNA was not built by a Jeff Jarrett. It was built by these fans in the Impact Zone. And Mike Tenay screams, you're damn right it was!
All right, Vince.
So a brawl breaks out, and the rest of Team Canada saves, and strange new music is played at the
Okay,
I got
to talk about this one, all right? I've been talking all night about new fans tuning in for the first time. So this fucking music plays, and everyone's confused. Whose music is this, okay? Do you guys remember when Hulk Hogan was in the ring on Nitro, and he looked out yonder 6 straight miles, and on the top of this building there was a tiny figure, and he looked out and he said, it's the wall, brother?
This rings a bell.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the cameraman's in the fucking ring, okay? And he pans up to the entrance way, and out comes a man. And they say, it's Kevin Nash! Oh. The camera's filming him from 30 yards away, okay? So then, the very next shot is his back! And they show him walking to the ring from behind. And then he gets in the ring, and then they do a long hard cam shot. So there's this tall, tiny man, and I'm like, are you ever going to show me Kevin fucking Nash?
Like, you got Kevin Nash, but can you fucking show me him? And he hits a powerbomb on the guy, and it's not till he takes a fucking mic and starts cutting a promo that they actually show you a close-up of his face. I was like, fuck, is this that hard? The guy's 7 feet fucking tall. You don't have to film him from 10 miles back.
Brian, I jumped the gun about Team 3D.
I never knew how hard it was to review wrestling, but you guys are making it seem really hard.
Jesus.
I jumped the gun on 3D on Team 3D, and you overshot it.
That's true. It's the exact same moment. Craig was too early. Brian just passed entirely. Yeah, Team 3D debuted, everyone.
They were there, too, yes. Team 3D. I think they debuted, but as a fan, I don't know if they fucking debuted or not. Are they normally here? They're acting like, oh, look who's here. How great. I'm like, so are they regulars? Are they debuting?
I don't know that.
I don't have any fucking idea as a fan.
Because they had a litigate this and a middle finger on their back. Or a trademark, yes. trademark this. So it's funny because they hit the ring clean house and they hit a 3D on Chris Harris. They hit a 3D on James Storm. They go to hit one on Jarrett, but he hooks the ropes and slides out of the ring. And Mike Tenay screams, what a coward! Like, a coward?
No.
Because he avoided a wrestling move? he
avoided a 3-on-1 violent assault because he's a coward.
He was able to outsmart and escape these men who were attacking him for no reason. He should have taken that move like a man. So, yes, the show's always stupid. And then Nash came out, and he announces. Same question for him. I don't know if this is Nash's debut or return or what, but he comes out to his god-awful TNA music, the horrible Dr. Dre toy piano ripoff, and he comes out, and he powerbombs Jarrett and announces himself versus Jarrett for the title at Bound for Glory. And D-Von challenges America's Most Wanted for next week. And Don West is screaming, we have always wanted to see that. And it ends.
We have always wanted to see Team 3D versus America's Most Wanted.
That's what he said.
Apparently. I've never wanted to see that match ever in my life. I still don't.
Well.
You know, someone out here on the Twitch chat says, it's funny, Brian and Vinny were so much kinder to the show in 2005.
Yeah, we were dumber.
Well, no, it's not that. It's because we'd been watching the fucking show consistently for 3 years. So we probably watched it and thought it was a better than average edition of the show. And
that's
there were
true.
Big surprises.
Listen, this is better than 50% of Impact.
I'm watching it now as a first-time Spike viewer, and I don't know what the fuck's going on the show. There's too much shit. They crammed 3 hours worth of stuff into a one-hour show, and
This is better than most Impacts, that's for sure. Was it any good? No. Do I want to watch next week? No. Do I want to watch the pay-per-view? No.
I am always just amazed at Kevin Nash and his ability to be lazy in everything he does. The way he sauntered down to the ring.
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean,
this is a walk-in.
He sauntered, but at the same time, if you looked at his legs, I mean, it looked like the guy could barely walk. And he's another guy, actually, because he had all those surgeries. I don't know if you ever saw, he put something on Twitter a while ago, but it was like 3 pictures of him, like before, middle, and after.
I did see that.
And the first one is just like a horror. Like, it's impossible to believe the guy can even walk. And then the last picture, it's like, dude's got legs. Like, he got all of his surgeries, and he's probably moving so much better now than he was in 2005. But yeah, he did not look like he was in shape. He was not moving very well.
Didn't look like he cared.
I mean, he was making
just
his money.
Cashing in and making his money.
Making his money. Hey, you know what I got?
Another song?
I got one more song for everybody.
Excellent.
Yeah. You want to hear this one, everyone?
Please.
Well, let me play it.
0.5.
This was the week that they did a 0.5 and you celebrated.
I'm a scat man.
The ratings, Dave.
0.50. For Impact, which would make it the lowest rated Impact ever on Spike TV for a first run episode.
Let's and relive some memories of Impact, everybody.
Cue the pyro and ballyhoo!
Woo!
The blindfold match inside a steel cage.
Kevin Nash was asleep during Impact. The nexus of humanity.
Joe and Cornette had a meeting backstage that involved yelling and screaming. Abyss shot a man 3 times.
You want me to play along?
They claimed it was the second annual, even though the first one was last month. He was looking for sex advice from Jeremy Borash, and they immediately cut away.
I am boycotting the Eric Young Bobby Roode program.
Two-on-one babyface advantage, so it's a good one.
And they whipped him into the barbed wire Christmas tree.
I can't believe there's a tree made of barbed wire. Well, he was talking about Chris Abyss.
Kaz took the black rodent and dyed it white.
That's what they said. That's not bad. Samoa Joe was actually crying. He feast or fired Matt the super bad move of the night. The announcer screamed something about something. Angle AJ and Karen, who of course were fighting, to the back.
Hey, Frank, Karen, Jeremy, we're talking about some
AJ
bullshit.
Styles' grandmother's house. Everybody on the show hates everybody else.
Yes.
Kurt Angle was, in fact, in his underwear all night. They announced that we were going to have four gauntlet matches.
We need four of those in one show.
Team Pac-Man, Moose, the generic blonde chick, and the Latino Nation. The return of the reverse battle royal. They did it twice.
What a horrible promotion this is.
Oh, my God.
Can you ask why I'm so bitter about Impact to this day? You know the bullshit I had to swim through?
Of three Angle
there's
on
more.
Blind dates.
Oh, yeah, there's
Karen's
more, dude.
Angle.
The Prince Justice Brotherhood, Jay Lethal's Bachelor Party, Eric Young looking for Elvis, an eight-man weapons gauntlet match. The Black Bat appeared, and everybody automatically assumed it was Sting.
Yes.
After Jeff Jarrett's music played and Jeff Jarrett's guitar made an appearance, Mike Tenay screamed, and I quote, "The mystery of the guitar continues."
That wasn't even everything in TNA history. Think of the years
God.
After that. Oh, I'm exhausted.
I don't know what to do now. I honestly don't know what to do.
I don't know how we used to wrap it up back in the old days, but we're over, everybody.
I would imagine there's a lot of awkward silence.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of that. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. Next couple of days, we might have an exciting announcement. I'm so drunk I don't remember, but you can look forward to that. And
one shot, everybody. One shot.
You fucking miscreants, entertain yourselves. Open a present or something, Vinny.
I got it, no problem.
Tom, run the show.
Oh, shit.
You guys, swear you guys want to see one of the rare moments that'll probably get cut
yes,
from
please.
The show?
Let's badly.
Get this to work.
Very badly. Right. You have like 3 minutes to do whatever you want.
You're not
well,
going to stand
a raging
up,
moron, so there's no guarantee I could do this, but.
Right.
Oh. But I'm going to sing. Santa Claus, suck my balls. Drunk as hell, ringing bells at the malls. Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, and Cupid. I'ma get stupid. Ha ha! Eh. I sat around all night under the chimney, holding my sack like, gimme, gimme. I know he's coming, he's coming. He must look it up, nothing but dust, dust. Turn on my TV the very next day. I see you getting paid, leading the parade. I'm the sniper on the building. Listen to my nine go click. Santa is a fat bitch. Santa Claus is a fat bitch. Another year I ain't get shit. If I hear a bland, I'm my roof. Oh, my Undertaker.
What?
It's in the song.
Okay.
Really? Yeah, I got something to say about Saint Nick. Fuck that hoe. He ain't never brought shag shit. No toys, candy canes, just a lump of coal. So I eat it.
Fucking
because there ain't
back,
nothing yeah. in the cupboards. Oh, he's back. Hey, that was he's a cool. song brought to you by former ECW, WCW, and WWF alumni, the Insane Clown Posse.
What the fuck are you talking about? What happened? What did I miss?
Huh? We told stories and shared memories.
Casually talking. Yeah.
I came back and something about the Insane Fucking Clown Posse.
Yes.
Yeah, they came on the show. Yeah. How awesome was that? I called them up. I called up Violent J.
Bro, I had Violent J on the show. It was the best fucking show. I wish I could call him right now.
Yeah, I was so excited. They were on an AIW show I was on, and they had their own private locker room at the Odeon Theater, which houses 200 people. So I went and I took a photo in their locker room before they got there.
Yeah. You're so proud. Opera
well, what
Cup
are they gonna
champion.
Do?
Opera Cup champion and also photographer of the ICP well, locker room before they got there.
Think about it. If you're some like third match guy on the indie shows, which I actually am.
Sure. I never got that high, by the way. But
you're not...
Tom, hold on a second.
What?
We are here on the annual Christmas show.
I'm going to get a drink.
We always have special guests here on the show, Tom.
Yeah, and I know who it's going to be. He's got my number. He could have called me.
I realize that you're a big star, Tom, but this is the biggest star that we have ever had on the Christmas show.
Yeah, I already figured it out.
Who is it, Tom? Who is it? No, bro. It is the world famous Chico El Luchador.
Aha.
Joining us here on the show today. Chico, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful today, Brian. Happy Chico-mas.
I hate this motherfucker.
Hey, shut up, Tom. Go ahead, Chico. I'm sorry.
Who's
I'm going to
mute. That guy?
It's Who's Tom that? Fucking Lawler.
Oh, the shoot guy.
Yeah, the shoot guy. Put that in air quotes. The shoot guy.
The shoot guy. I like that guy. He has a little bit of an attitude. It reminds me back of, in my young days, You're so fiery and feisty.
What were you? One of the Jung Dragons? Your Jung days? You're not Evan Courageous.
Oh,
you're
Tom.
You're not Shane Helms. What are you talking about?
Tom, we got a big star here. Be respectful.
Yes, please guy, be respectful. He's a luchador. Mr. Shoot Guy.
He's a luchador. It's not like he was trained by someone legit like Inoki or somebody like that.
Oh, wow.
This is some bum.
Tom.
From Mexico.
Jesus.
Well, I was trained by my father, Chico Sr., who was quite handy in the mat. He used to fight elephants back in the day, and that's where I created my technique that I used to use when I was young in the amateur days. So let me tell you something, Tom Lawler. You obviously don't know your professional wrestling history. You know nothing about Chico El Luchador.
He's a fucking
jobber.
You should
be ashamed of yourself.
He's a jobber, Chico. That's
what he is. Whoa, I'm a jobber. Think about the guys that lose to me. How big of losers must they be?
You did just win the Opera Cup.
I did win the Opera Cup.
Yes.
In which I defeated not only Low Key, not only ACH, but also Rocky Romero.
This guy's a jobber.
What does Rocky Romero have to do with anything, Tom? That guy's a job guy.
I know.
This is fucking Chico El Luchador here.
Yes,
I'd like mention all the bums, because I'm going to beat up this tomato can if I ever find them, too. Yeah, that's right. He's like the Koji Katao of professional wrestling.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right.
I killed a man.
What? Wow. Well,
remember,
Brian, pause the show.
I never killed a man.
I can't quite.
I don't want this show as evidence in a trial.
Only verbally.
Metaphorically killed him.
Listen, we're not talking about your time in the Joshi dojos over there.
Joshi dojos?
Back off.
Wow. Yeah,
back off.
Wow.
Back off, Chico. Both of you.
Tom Lawler, I feel like, if you want to do this one-on-one, remember what happened to that loser, Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, yeah, Chavo died.
Him, and I could kill you, too. If you want to challenge me at Talking Shapa Mania 3, let's do
it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Wait, hold on a second, Chico. Are you talking about a death match with Filthy Tom at Talking Shapa Mania?
Yeah, I already killed the Karate Man. And then he shows up on Talking Shop.
This is no Karate Man.
You didn't do a very good job then.
Yeah, you did a shitty job, Tom. The fucking guy's still alive.
Mm. That's right.
I haven't seen Chavo since Talking Shop of Mania. That dude's dead.
That's right.
Nobody can afford his fee. There's a pandemic.
His world to be with the Force in nature and the Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian?
What are you talking? Hey, Sasha Banks, wasn't she in that?
Yes, she was.
See?
I thought you said that was Star Trek, Tom.
I haven't watched the
finale
yet.
You're an idiot. Come on.
I'm late.
Chico, are you issuing a challenge to Filthy Tom for a fucking death match?
That's what I heard.
If he wants to do this, we can do it, death by hands.
Death by hands?
Yes.
Wow.
We'll show you the technique of my father.
Watching too many Joe Rogan videos there, Mr. Hands. I'm not accepting a challenge like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, you are scared. You are what they call scared of Chico Luchador. You have no backbone.
Well, Chico, how many men have you killed during your career?
Tom, Brian, I can only say one legally.
Legally, yes. I mean, that was a stipulation.
He signed a consent form.
Oh, that's good.
That's
he signed
true.
A waiver. That's good.
When you sign a waiver for a death match, I mean, if you die, that's on you, buddy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
But I mean, can we at least say, like, unofficially, that there have been others?
I can't argue that as a member of the martial arts community and a mm-hmm. former owner of a dojo, Brian. You know that to be true.
That is true. Those waivers go a long way.
That's
you sign
right.
that waiver. You're done.
Tom, have you ever killed anybody in your career?
No.
You killed only, a couch once.
Only the dreams of my...
Yeah, just my fucking couch when you barfed all over it that one year.
The hopes and dreams of my children for a good future. My last few fights.
Holy
but
smokes.
No matter how bad I did in those fights, I vow that would beat up El poor Chico Luchador over there.
Ugh.
It would be reminiscent of a Jake Paul fight if he fought Nate Robinson again.
So amateurish. It would be very amateurish.
To be amateurish.
You'd be playing the part of Nate Robinson, and after I knocked your sorry ass out, I'd dribble your head all over the mat, Chico El Luchador. Maybe I'd have to kick it because it's not the same color as a basketball.
Yes, you are like a Jake Paul, but I am like a Mike Tyson. You know, savage and sophisticated at the same time. Flawless technique, power, speed. This is the virtues and attributes of Chico Luchador. But yes, you are like a Jake Paul. Correct.
Wait a minute. You're a felon.
What are you fucking talking about, Tom? He's
signed
a felon?
A signed a form. It's
he
fine.
He signed a goddamn
he said
fucking
he's like
form.
Mike Tyson.
And I am a reformed felon. Okay. Relax.
When you're a reform felon, that's something totally different.
Yeah.
Chico, before we let you go here, I want to give you a chance. Like, tell us about yourself. Where can we go to find out more about Chico El Luchador?
Yes, please.
You know, you can always visit ChicoElLuchador.com. You can go to TNSmania.com. You can watch Talking Shop Mania on Fight TV. And you can also check out the YouTube. It has the three documentary films made by that Mark Rocky Romero, where he spent all his money to have a film made about Chico El Luchador. His life savings.
His jobber spending
much like
money.
Tom Lawler, he's a loser.
Ah, oh, horrible. Well, Chico,
YouTube?
Tom, would you like one last comment here, Tom?
About this guy?
Yeah.
I got nothing to say. I just tried to look him up. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia. Get out of here.
Oh, wow. All right, Chico.
Because Wikipedia is all lies. Anyway.
That's
you
true.
Know, it's guys like you, you know, writing their own profiles and saying stupid things about Chico Luchador and his past. You know, I do not want to. I will destroy Wikipedia. I challenge Wikipedia to a death match at Talking Shop Mania 3, brother.
Chico, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. The biggest star that's ever been on the show, everybody. Give him a
that's
hand.
That's true. Yes.
Chico El Luchador. Hey! Thank you so much, my friend. Man, Tom.
Mox. I thought it was going to be Moxley.
Moxley?
That's who I thought.
Way too big for this fucking show. Are you kidding
I'll
me?
Say.
Man.
You wasted half my segment with that. Was that a real challenge? You challenged me for Shopamania?
I think so.
I fucking challenged you for talking Shopamania, bro.
I believe he did challenge you to talk in Shopamania.
A death match.
Consider
by his
this,
hands.
Tom.
By his hands.
A death match. You're a father. You have a lot to lose here.
Yeah, but you know what?
I got to urinate. Carry the show, Vince.
I shall. Yes, Tom, continue.
What's up? Oh, I was going to accept the challenge.
You should.
Well, go ahead.
I do.
It's not too late.
I do.
Okay.
You know what? I'm not doing it on his time. I don't even know who that guy is. Like I said, he doesn't have a Wikipedia. He doesn't even have a cagematch.de. He's got nothing. Did I see him hanging out in the DVD VR boards 15 years ago when he was slumming it up on the undercards? No! No! Huh? Was that guy ordering new style DVDs and trying to replicate everything he saw? No! Okay, it's some bum under a mask, and I'll accept that challenge for Talking Shopamania
Wow, you heard it here first.
Oh my
folks.
Goodness, yes. Actual legit breaking news here on the Christmas wow. show. I know you promised not to talk about wrestling, but this
I don't know.
This is worth it.
Yeah, I think I can. I don't even know what kind of show.
Well, you better
who puts that
send
show
Ryan
on?
An email.
What is that show?
The Good Brothers, I hear.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to send Ryan a text right now.
Are you drinking a Truly?
Yeah. Is he dropping a deuce? Oh, man, listen, I'm tanked already, man. I gave plasma yesterday.
Uh-huh.
First time ever. I thought, like, it's going to be an easy 100 bills.
Are you that hard up?
Well, I thought it would be easy. This was this was a harrowing experience, man.
Mania 3, in case you need to cut that. All right. What?
Listen.
No, this is live.
Listen,
this is live.
Hold on. The other day, Brian, right? I'm getting ready to sing a song before we go on the air. This is the inside information that all the listeners want before we go on the air. And he goes, hey, one take. It's going to be one take only. No, we can't edit. One take only. He starts the show, and he plays...
Dude, I hit his urinate for 59 straight seconds.
Shut up.
Sorry.
You've been urinating on air for 20-plus years.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Out of your mouth.
Wow.
Do I have to spell it
I'm
out
I'm sober
for
enough
you?
To be disgusted by that.
Tom,
statement.
You should challenge him to a match.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Tom. Are you really pouring a shot?
I don't have any more.
All right, last drink. Ready? Liquor. 1, 2, 3. Oh, God. Don't even tell me you fucked with me.
I would never do such a thing.
Okay, keep talking. I'm going to call our last guest.
Why would I talk if you're going to call somebody? We should have it silent so when you say hi to them.
This is the biggest guest in the history of the... With all due respect, Chico... Hold on a second. Let me start it over again.
Chico? Chico. He's Arabian now?
Hold on!
He's a decorator.
With all due respect...
Chic. I get it.
To Chico El Luchador. I'm going to call the biggest guest... In the history of the Christmas show.
I don't know.
Size-wise?
Fuck off, you
I'm
two
already
motherfuckers.
Here.
That shirt, Craig, is plunging. Their neckline there is
fuck you, Vince.
Derek.
Calm down while I call this guest.
70s, look at that.
Who the fuck is it?
Hello!
Hey, it's MJF, motherfuckers! Maxwell Jacob Free...
Brian, shut the fuck up.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, just in case you are deaf, dumb, blind, stupid, or since you're listening to this podcast, very poor, my name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I am the youngest and fastest rising star in the history of professional wrestling. I was voted New York Times Best Performer of 2020.
What?
Also voted Inside the Ropes Greatest Heel of 2020. Not a fan of that. I'm salty earth. Don't know why they said that about me. But I'd like to come over here because I got a few words I'd like to say. I got a couple things I'd like to get off my chest.
Please.
Mike Sempervivi. Or as I refer to you as, fat, gelatinous, talentless, triple chin dipshit. Hey, Mike, your tits are colder than Frosty the Snowman's dick. If I have to listen to one more of your professional... professional opinions, I'm going to tell your wife to stop calling me, and trust me, for the sake of your marriage, you don't want that, Mike. Because someone's going to keep her happy, and it's got to be me, because Lord knows you're not getting the job done. Well, anyway, Mike, I hope you take a long walk off a short pier, and I'm sure that joke went over your head. Lord knows you only have one brain cell, and let's face it, it's fucking dormant. Granny, you seem like a sweetheart, babe, and I'm not just saying that because we desperately need the 50-plus demo. By the way, Brian, Vinny, keep putting me over, baby. You're doing great. Peace!
Hey, MJF, listen, I got some questions for you. MJF, listen to me. Listen. Where the fuck is he?
I think he left.
Did this motherfucker hang up?
I mean, I would have.
God damn it.
I should have.
Where the fuck is he?
Wait, so who just said I should have?
MJF.
Hey.
Maxwell. Jacob. Friedman.
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm pretty sure he's gone, Brian.
Bullshit. Fuck, motherfucker. I had MJF on the air.
You did.
Where is he?
He's done now. He's done with you.
Motherfucker. Did he bury Sempervivi?
That was his Christmas gift to the world.
I got short-term memory here. Did he bury Mike?
Yeah, quite fervently. Passionately.
What are you talking about?
I heard something about your wife. What the fuck?
Well, you can have her.
Oh!
Oh, fuck.
I already shot one past the goalie. I don't, you know. I'm just riding this thing out at this point.
Oh, hey, whoa.
I said hey-yo tonight. I feel like I've said hey-yo a lot. I don't do that usually.
Did that motherfucker just call and bury everybody on my fucking Christmas show? Are you kidding me?
Not me. Some I escaped kids? Unscathed.
Really? It was just Mike.
Yeah. You buried Mike?
Yes.
Mike.
I heard
he's
something.
Kissing up to Granny because he wants the 50-plus demo.
Well, fuck. I mean, he should have the 50-fucking-goddamn-plus demo.
Hey, wait a minute. Is that code?
For
no.
What? What are you fucking talking about, you nerd?
Thank you, Mike. He gets it.
So, before we pour, Vinny, I just want everyone to know that we always keep the date of the Christmas show a secret.
Right.
Yes.
But we're recording this on Wednesday night.
Yes.
So, in an hour, I have to watch AEW and NXT, and then I have to do a show with Dave.
Awesome. Yes.
I just want y'all to know that. So, watch Vinny, NXT. Fuck. Come on, let's do this. 1, 2, 3... Pour that shot!
Watch NXT first. It might be entertaining to you.
God damn it.
Don't bring the Lord into this mess.
Why did you work tonight, Mike? Why did you work?
It's true. At least the booze could have dulled the pain of MJF laying me up.
Fuck off, dude.
He really did.
I didn't know. Honestly, Mike,
he left you down beneath the earth.
I'll tell you off the air, but I swear to God, I had no idea he was going to bury you. But you know what I know?
What's that?
Listen, everybody. The main eventer buried Mike. I'm not sure if he buried me or Vinny. I can't. My short-term memory's gone.
Actually, he likes us.
Listen, Vinny, motherfucker. I thought that in 2020, there was no better person to main event the Christmas show than a guy who has had a very hard 2020, Jim Valley. Right?
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. No.
Is he not a perfect guy?
That's the
best guy.
Listen, I called MJF. He fucking buried Mike. He fucking buried everybody. He acts like a dick on the fucking Christmas show. Who better than Mike? Or not? I'm sorry, Jim.
Jim.
Who better than Jim to bring an uplifting end to the Christmas show? Right, everybody? Am I wrong?
That's right. That's right.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Did everyone see how cool my Christmas village is, by the way?
Fuck you, Vinny. I'm calling Jim Valley. He's been in the fucking hospital. Stand by. Stand by. Calling Jim. When he answers, everyone say, "Hey, Jim Valley." He better answer. Fuck. If this is... What are you doing, Vinny?
I'm showing my Christmas village. It's awesome.
Hello.
Jim!
Hey, Jim!
Hey! How you doing, Jim Valley? Jim, how you doing?
How am I doing?
Yes, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
For 45 minutes. I'm not saying it's been a long time, but I've seen WWE superstars climb ladders faster.
Jim.
Wow. MJF is so mean.
He's a terrible person,
isn't
he? It's
holidays.
Yes, he's
awful.
Time for
family and friendship and apparently exploiting your subscribers who already pay you money for presents.
What?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell him, Jim. I have a rare autoimmune disease. I am 5-0 against death. Doctors will never know all that is wrong with me.
Oh, we appreciate you, Jim.
They do know that Dave Meltzer is afflicted with a parasite called Brian Alvarez.
What?
Yeah.
Dave writes 25,000 words a week.
Jim.
You say the same words 25,000 times.
Jim!
This week's dead horse, the fiend, was burned to a crisp.
He was burned to a crisp!
You said that so many times. I didn't know if you were talking about a wrestler or a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Jim!
Oh, that sounds good. I could go for that right now. I got some frozen Popeye's chicken in my freezer right now.
Have no friends.
That's right.
How do you have friends?
I got a lot of friends.
To I'm Vinny paid.
And Greg. Vinny is a genius. Makes
no, he's
awesome
not.
Points, and has the patience of a saint.
Bullshit.
Hear him out. Hear him out.
And Craig Thank is you. Cool as hell.
Thank you, Jim.
You give them pain. You give them suffering. You give them grief. You give them everything but respect and money.
Jim.
It's the holidays.
I do get money.
Give them a raise already.
Thank you. I need a raise.
Bro.
I need a raise.
Bro.
Jim.
You started watching wrestling because of Dino Bravo.
I did.
Why couldn't Dino Bravo inspire you to go into cigarette smuggling instead?
Jim! Jim!
Okay, that was mean. That's not fair. The truth is, Brian, you were one of my favorite wrestlers. Uh-huh. And you know what my favorite match of yours is?
Tell me.
Against Miss Rento.
Hillbilly Jim at WrestleMania 3 against King Kong Bundy. Look, man, I loved you under your original name of Little Beaver.
Yes. Jim.
Beaver.
The fuck are you talking about?
And you're doing your Christmas show. You complain about Raw not being festive enough.
It fucking sucks.
And all you're doing is drinking and opening up presents to you. Your show is as much about the holidays and being festive as a six-hour fiend Yule log.
No, what is that, Vinny? The fuck is that?
It's just an excuse to get drunk.
No!
And what do you drink? Absinthe.
Yes!
Brian, if you don't want sugar, drink vodka. You're 45 years old.
I got fucking Grey Goose.
A college freshman.
Jim, I got Grey Goose.
And you always pick on poor Semper Vivi.
Yeah.
No!
I'm a big supporter of Semper Vivi.
Thank
for just the price of a cup of coffee a day. Mike, what is your deal? You work at a hotel in Baltimore.
Yes.
You're one step up from a manger.
Look, your a manger? Tag team
should not be the Holiday Inn Express.
Do I have that here?
Where's your manger, Vinny?
All right.
I got a manger, I'm sorry.
The truth is... is that I love you, Brian.
Oh!
You guys...
thank God!
...have been so good to me. And I really...
not Brian, though.
...really appreciate it. I appreciate you and Dave and Tony and Vinny and Craig and Mike and everybody associated with the Observer platform. Everyone on social media has been reaching out, has been so kind, and I really... really appreciate it. I could not do it without you. So, you know, I think you're a great host. I appreciate all you've ever done. I'm looking forward to coming back. I will come back.
You'll be back, Jim.
Wish everybody the happiest holiday, the best new year, and we will talk probably in 2021. And I want everyone to know the truth. The truth is that Wrestling Observer Live is the greatest audio show ever yelled.
Yelled?
Except
yelled.
Brian and Vinny.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, Brian and Vinny
no,
is better.
Jim, seriously, Jim, I want to thank you for doing the show here today. Listen, everybody, we got good things to say to Jim, right? Jim, I appreciate it.
He's gone.
He fucking hung up on me.
He has better things to do.
He fucking hung up on me on the Christmas show. God damn it.
Smart
fuck.
Man. Smart man.
God damn it, he hung up on me in the middle of the Christmas show.
You know what was a mistake was wearing a sweater on this show.
I'm so really hot right now.
And a flannel.
The window's open. The neighbors are listening to me scream like a fucking maniac.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Jesus.
You know why it's so hot over there, Brian? Because Jim is 5-0 against death. But you know what? Something's coming for you, pal.
Ah!
The heat of hell coming
come
for
on,
you.
Come on, Jim. Mike, I've been your biggest supporter.
My lovely bride has just opened a window for me. Thank you, dear. You're the best.
Dude, we're out of time. I can't top Jim.